the Financial Sense Lifetime Planning Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team.
Today, we're going to discuss how to manage inflation during retirement, because as we all know, we have seen a big return in inflation. Thankfully, it is decelerating from the highs that we saw a year or two ago, but it's still sticking at a higher than average level. And we, of course, have been saying since 2020 that we believe this is going to remain persistent and likely be with us for the remainder of this decade. And that's something that we've discussed a number of times. So today, along those lines, we are going to delve into how to manage your portfolio, your costs, all during the phase of retirement, which is very important when you're living on a fixed income.
And you know, Chris, as we mentioned, the return of inflation, it was interesting. Ahead of today's lifetime planning, there was an article in the Wall Street Journal today, and it was called Inflation Hits Americans' Finances. And the article goes on, inflation was the most common financial burden cited by people in the survey. According to the Fed, some 54% of adults said their budgets had been affected a lot by higher prices, and almost two-thirds of adults said inflation caused them to pull back on using a product or stop using it altogether. So it's rather interesting because, as you mentioned, Chris, when you head into retirement, it's a little bit different because you're not working, you don't have the paycheck. And usually a lot of people are relying on some kind of fixed income. It might be a pension, it might be Social Security, or a lot of times it'll be their investments, like fixed income type investments that don't increase as inflation goes up. We're seeing it in food prices. We're seeing it in gasoline. I mean, especially for those of us who live in California, we're getting hit all the way across the board. You're seeing it in food. We have the highest gasoline prices in the country. Utilities. I mean, my natural gas bill doubled in the last year. You're seeing it in medical costs. That happened with Obamacare as the government shifted more of the cost of medical onto consumers. You're seeing it in housing. You know, California's definition of a millionaire is a homeowner. Entertainment, Chris, we were just talking before going on the air. You're getting ready to take an Alaskan cruise vacation and you were startled at the cost.
Yeah, I think it's going to end up being around $10,000 just for a family of four. That's my wife and our two kids to take a 7-day Alaskan cruise. And I was hoping, you know, maybe it'd be a few thousand dollars. But when you look at the cruise, the airfare, the food, the cost of excursions, all of it is adding up to be well, well above what, you know, I had originally anticipated. And I mean, it's just vacations. There's a huge demand for services now. You know, people are shifting away from all the goods buying that they did, you know, post 2020, and now shifting over to vacation service spending. But that's also inflationary. And yeah, I'm definitely experiencing this firsthand, as many of our listeners are as well.
Yeah. And what we're trying to talk about is government policy is now highly inflationary. You're looking at our fiscal deficits that are now running 7 to 8% of GDP. We're seeing rising interest costs. Obviously, as the Fed raises interest rates, the cost of financing anything from a car to a home is getting more expensive. And the fiscal spending and entitlements are going to take up a good majority of the government's budget. And at the same time, Chris, we have falling tax revenues. So the Fed is going to be put into a position, either they support the dollar as a global reserve currency, or they shift and support the financial system and government. They're not going to be able to do both. And every president, what's interesting is every president, probably for the last four or five presidents in a row, have changed the way we measure inflation. And John Williams, who we used to have on the program at Shadow Stats, he tracks inflation the way we used to with the original basket of goods. And inflation is now still running double digits. We report it in mid-single digits, but in reality, if we measure it the way we used to, it's probably over 10% right now.
You know, Jim, given what we're discussing here for our long-term view of persistent and higher than average inflation, given some of these forces that we've discussed many times, and as you just mentioned, the fact that the government is still continuing to run massive budget deficits, spending trillions of dollars each and every year, not seeing much of a slowdown on spending. And a lot of that is baked into the system. It's just almost necessitated at this point. But that being said, when we think about hedging for inflation long term, there's many different ways to do this. And one thing that most people understand is this idea of a 60-40, you know, stock bond portfolio, right? You start out with 60% stocks and 40% bonds. But what would you say to that during a period of higher than average inflation?
Well, a good example, it doesn't work. Let's take 2022. It was probably the worst year that we've seen in over four decades for bond market returns. Treasuries lost over 20% last year. Bonds themselves lost over 20%. In fact, treasuries lost more than, let's say, the S&P, which was down 20%, or the NASDAQ, which was down 33%. And in an inflationary period, Chris, I started my career at the end of an inflationary era. I started in 1980, and Paul Volcker at the Fed had been raising interest rates. It's hard to believe. We had a Fed funds rate close to 20%. You were getting 18% money market funds. I remember my first mortgage that Mary and I, when we bought our first home, we were lucky and we thought we got a 12% mortgage. Imagine a 12% mortgage on a home today. But the theory behind the bonds and the split between equities and bonds, the rule is as you age, the more you should put in bonds. So let's say you retire at 60-40. At age 70, maybe you have 70% in bonds. So you increase it as you get older. But Chris, I don't think that's going to work. The other thing they also tell you too, just prior to retirement, is you don't want to go through something called sequence risk. And that is a major bear market that begins in retirement, because the majority of people put their money or investments in mutual funds and ETFs. I'm going to tell you the problems with those two forms of investing. And the problem with sequence risk, if you have your money in a mutual fund, there's something called the 4% rule. So let's say you have $1 million and you take out 4% a year, which would be $40,000. You do it every single year. The problem is if you have your money in mutual funds or ETFs, you're pulling out 4% at a time when the value of those mutual funds and ETFs are declining every year. So you don't want to go through what we did in, let's say, 2000 to 2002, where the stock market lost 55%, or through 2007 and 2009, when the markets lost 60%. You do that at the beginning of the retirement, it's very detrimental. So you want to be a little bit more cautious prior to retirement. And I would say 5 years prior to that. Now, I'm going to show you a way to make that less risky here in a moment. But the thing you're going to be dealing with is inflation leads to increasing cost. And with inflation, you're going to see rising interest rates. The Fed is still in a rate raising mode. They haven't said, hey, we're done. In fact, there's speculation they could go again next month. If they raise it a quarter point, that would take the federal funds rate to 5.5. Several Fed governors have said they need to raise rates more. Then Jay Powell last Friday said, nah, you know, we're going to watch the data. So there's a lot of conflicting information coming out from the Fed itself, but they're going to be watching the data and see what's happening. And hopefully inflation is coming down. But Chris, we're not going to see inflation at the 2% level. I just don't think you're going to see that in this decade. So what will happen sooner or later is the Fed is going to have to monetize the debt. They're going to have to get back to printing money, because we've got a real risk to our banking system. I just wrote an article talking about how there's over 2,300 banks that are technically insolvent if you took the losses in their bond portfolio and compared it to their net capital. So they were hoping that inflation was temporary. What it's proving, it's more than temporary. And Chris, what worked in a disinflationary environment, basically the last 40 years, it's no longer working. So you could be at risk if you are in fixed income investments, because they don't go up. And worse, if you're in a bond fund or a bond ETF, they can go down in value as interest rates rise. Right now, currently this week, we have the 10-year Treasury note backing up to 4% and the 30-year bond. So bonds are much at risk.
So in that case, if you're talking about the traditional 60-40 stock bond portfolio. And as you said, the rule of thumb is to increase your weighting towards bonds as you age. If that is not going to be working for the decade ahead, as you believe, in a higher than average inflationary environment, what would be the better approach that you are advising or that you're doing for clients at Financial Sense Wealth Management?
Well, I mean, you know, a lot of times people are saying, okay, the Fed's raising interest rates, they're going to get inflation under control. I don't buy that. You know, I think we're going through a period very similar, if not worse, than 1966 to 1981, where you had periodic episodes. The Fed would raise interest rates, they'd pull back, we'd get a recovery, inflation would heat up again, they would start raising rates even more. And we began this climb in interest rates where we were at 2 or 3% interest rates till around 1981. I mean, it's hard to believe in 1981, Chris, when I started my career, I still remember one of the first clients I had here in California, I put her in a 10-year treasury note at 15%. But we went from 2% to over 15% on treasuries, and bonds were lost. I remember one of the first plans when I was apprenticing in the financial planning area, this gentleman used to be a executive or a corporate Fortune 500 CEO, and he had a pension, he had Social Security, and he had a $750,000 bond portfolio that was only worth about $400,000, because when he bought bonds, when he retired towards the end of 1968, you know, bonds were paying 2 and 3% back then. Well, when I was working on his plan in 1980, interest rates were at 15%, so his bonds had lost a lot of money. So what I would be doing, and here's the risk when you're in a bond fund or a bond ETF, there is no maturity. Let's say I'm managing a bond fund. I buy bonds, and then all of a sudden interest rates start rising. What happens to the bonds I own? They start going down in value. What happens? A lot of times investors start pulling money out of the bond portfolio, or they sell their mutual funds and ETFs. That forces the manager to sell those bonds in the market at a loss, very much like what's happening to the banking system now. Typically, banks own bonds to maturity, and even though their bonds are underwater now, if they just hold them till they mature, they get their money back. It doesn't work when there's a run on the bank, then they're forced to sell. Well, that's what happens to a bond fund manager. When people liquidate their bond funds or ETFs, the bond fund manager has to sell those bonds at a loss. So what we prefer and what works in a inflationary environment is what we call a laddered bond portfolio. So you might have bonds that mature in a year, bonds that mature in 2 and 3 years, and no more than bonds that mature in 5 to 7 years. So your, let's say your one-year bond matures a year from now, if rates have gone up, you can roll that bond over and lock in the new interest rates. But more importantly, let's say I have a five-year bond, and let's say, I don't know, I locked in at 4%, and let's say interest rates are now at 5%. My bond is slightly underwater. If I was to sell it, I'd have a loss. But if I just keep it, I simply get my 4% interest. It's predictable. I know I'm going to get that every 6 months, because bonds pay every 6 months versus a bond fund, which has a portfolio of bonds that pays monthly. So I get my 4%. And even though it's down right now, if I hold it to maturity, I get 100% of my money. So in an inflationary environment, like I think we're going to be going through this decade, you want to use a laddered bond portfolio, because you won't lose money holding them to maturity. And more importantly, Chris, you know exactly what your income is going to be. A bond fund, a stock fund, they can change their dividend payouts. They can change their interest rates depending on what's going on internally with the portfolio. And especially when people are buying and liquidating mutual funds, the distribution rate on those funds and ETFs is always changing. I like predictability. So I know, like, we're just ready. We're buying a drug company bond, and that's going to pay 7.5%. It's a five-year bond, but it's 7.5%. I know exactly what I'm going to get. And if I hold it to maturity, I get my money back. So in an inflationary period, you have to change the way you manage money. And since most people rely on fixed income when they're retired, you want to go into a laddered bond portfolio, because you're going to have predictability, And more importantly, you will get your money back when those bonds mature. I can't say that about a bond mutual fund or an ETF. And we often define retirement into three phases. Phase one, go-go years, 65, 75. You travel, you're taking vacations, you're doing recreation, you're doing the stuff you didn't have time to do when you were working. Phase two is the go-slow years, 75 to 85. Maybe you don't travel as much. Maybe you don't do as many activities that are costing money. And then phase three, 85 and beyond, that's the no-go years. And that's when, Chris, you're really hit with medical costs. And remember, Obamacare passed a lot of medical cost on to consumers. So if you're on Medicare, you're paying more. Your insurance premiums, your Medigap insurance is going up. So you're going to need something to take care of you. Because, you know, just take a look at anything that you're spending money on today, buying a home, buying a car, what you're paying for food or utilities. Go back and take a look at check register and what you were paying for these same items 10 years ago. And it was a heck of a lot cheaper. So you need something that is going to increase your income over time. And that's why I like dividend paying aristocrats. Aristocrat is a blue chip company that has a history of increasing their dividends 25 years in a row. And believe it or not, there's companies that have gone beyond that. For example, Coca-Cola just increased their dividend this year. It's the 61st year they've increased their dividends. Procter & Gamble just increased their dividends. And this is their 67th year of consecutive dividend increases. And the reason you want to stick with the big blue chips, the stocks that make up the Dow or the S&P 500, you want to stick with quality, you want to stick with safety, but more importantly, you want something that's fairly predictable and safe that you can count on the income. And especially as you get to that final stage of life where medical expenses rise, where you might be paying the for long-term care. Now, when we manage and buy individual stocks for our income portfolio, I have something that I call the 10% dividend rule, meaning that between dividend yield and increasing the dividend, the two together must add up to 10%. So let's say the company pays a 5% dividend. To meet my definition to fit in the portfolio, they must increase that dividend 5% a year. So the dividend yield of 5% and the dividend increase of 5 adds up to 10. Now, if you do that, your income is going to double every 7 to 8 years. And that's what you're going to need when you retire. Because how are you going to pay for those? You know, the increases of utilities, your food, your travel expenses, medical insurance, all the things that you're spending on money now, they're going to cost more 10 years from now. And when you go to this, use this 10% dividend rule that I use, your income doubles every 7 to 8 years. And that's how you manage the three stages of retirement. And the only caveat I would probably throw in there is you should have some money in precious metals, because they are, Chris, if I was to ask you over the last two decades, what was the number one performing asset? What do you think you would tell me?
Inflation.
Well, besides inflation, how about investing?
Okay. let's say, the biggest game in town right now is tech stocks.
Biggest return in asset class last two decades was gold. Remember, gold went from 250 all the way to 2000. And the thing about gold, if you go back to 100 years, an ounce of gold still buys you a good men's suit today, as it did in the year 1900. So you want to have 5% minimum, I think, in gold and precious metals as an inflation dollar hedge. But if you stick with dividend increases, you're going to get something, and a laddered bond portfolio. You combine the two together, you have certainty that you don't have with mutual funds and an ETF. A laddered bond portfolio, you know what that income's going to be. If you buy a five-year bond and it pays 5%, you know every single year you can count on getting 5%. And when the bond matures, you can count on getting your money back. if you buy a dividend aristocrat, it pays you a dividend, you're pretty confident that that dividend is going to go up each year. You know, I have no idea where the stock market could be in December, but I have a high degree of confidence of predicting where Coca-Cola's dividend or Procter & Gamble's dividend is going to be at the end of the year. It's predictable. They have a history of increasing it. You know, when you increase something 60 years in a row or 67 years in a row, that gives you a level of confidence that you don't have in other things. So by combining a laddered bond portfolio with blue chip dividend increasing aristocrats, you have a way to manage inflation during your retirement years that's less risky, more predictable than you would sticking with, let's say, mutual funds or ETFs.
And obviously, as we're discussing all of this, this is what we are doing here at Financial Sense Wealth Management. So if any of you are interested in contacting us to see how we can help you, you can hit the Contact Us page on financialsense.com or give us a call at 888-486-3939. Jim, let's move on to another important aspect of this when it comes to, again, this overarching topic that we're discussing here on how to manage inflation during retirement. And that is on controlling expenses. I know there are a number of things that people are doing to control their expenses. So one of them is moving away from high cost of living states. We live here in California. A lot of people are still flooding out of California, trying to find greener pastures elsewhere. So tell us some of the things that you are doing to control your expenses and what you are advising clients along these lines.
Well, number one, downsizing the home. You might have had, a larger home that you raised the family. The kids are all gone now. They've gone to college. They're married. And do you need the big home? Most people that retire will downsize. A lot of them will move to retirement communities. But downsizing that home, maybe paying cash. You sell your house in California. I had a client here that had about $350,000 left on their mortgage. They moved to Arizona 3 or 4 years ago, and they took their equity out of their home here, and they paid cash. They moved to Sun City, Arizona, paid cash for their home, free and clear in a retirement community, and they no longer had mortgage expense.
And don't forget, there's also the world's largest 55-plus community, The Villages, in Florida. And I'm sure some of you actually even live there, but that looks like a fun place to live. I must admit, I saw a YouTube video on that recently, and it's like a Disneyland for retired people.
Yeah. I mean, they've got everything from pickleball courts, tennis ball courts, golf, everything. You're on the beach. I mean, great way to live. And a lot of people are doing that. Plus, you know, you're in the more... I don't know if I could handle the summers and humidity. A lot of the people, like I have clients in Arizona, and if you live in Arizona during the summer, it gets up to 113, 115. That's the time you take your vacation, get in your motor home, or go visit the kids back east, or maybe come back to California and rent a place on the beach. Another thing that you can do to control your cost is eat healthy. When I go to the supermarket, Chris, my shopping is on the outside aisles, which are vegetables, fruits, and meats. The stuff in the middle, the processed foods, the canned foods, the boxed foods, that's the more expensive stuff and the stuff that's less healthy. So you avoid processed foods. The other thing that we're learning that maintains our flexibility and our health is exercising during retirement, whether it's weights, cardio. I do a combination of weights, cardio, and Pilates. I have a Pilates reformer. In fact, we interviewed the inventor of that on our show recently, Yvette McGeffen. And I also do things. I do the superhuman protocol, which was invented by Da Vinci Medical, where I actually lay on a PMF mat, which helps separate your cells. Then I train on my treadmill with oxygen. And then I use red laser light therapy, which alters your cells' mitochondria and regenerates your cells in your body. So there's a number of things that we can do to stay flexible and healthy. And Chris, quite honestly, there's a group of us, there's about four couples, and we get together at our home every Friday night. We call ourselves the band. And every Friday night, we get together, we're playing cards, And then what we do is we cook a meal. It is much cheaper to go out and buy healthy food at a store and cook it at home than going out to a restaurant. Last time I went to a restaurant was about a month ago at Ruth Chris, and it cost me $300. And I brought my own bottle of wine because the wine is expensive. But you know, the bone-in filet steaks were close to $80. Vegetables were $20 a dish. The salad was $25. You know, it's easy with tip. And you're paying $150 a person to go out to a nice restaurant. So what we've done is every Friday night, we just came to the conclusion, rather than going out, we just have meals here. We have fun. We don't have to wait in the crowd. And it's just much nicer. It's less noisy. And it's a lot cheaper, and we eat high-quality food. We have a great time. And then finally, I guess, even some of my clients are going to what I call staycations. We saw a lot of this during COVID and the lockdowns. But, you know, instead of, let's say, maybe you only take one trip overseas, and you do it early on in your retirement, because going to Europe right now, I just had a client that went over to England for the Prince Charles coronation, was over there for almost 2 weeks. Not just England, France, and a couple other places. Chris, that was like close to $18,000. So traveling is over expense. So there's two ways you're going to minimize inflation: controlling your expenses, spending money smartly, and then also finding predictable sources of income that you don't run the risk of losing money, like in the bond market, as I mentioned, laddered bonds, and then dividend aristocrats that increase those dividends each year. So 5 years from now, 10 years from now, your income is going to double, and you'll be able to handle those inflationary expenses versus just relying strictly on a fixed income.
So again, here we're talking about how to manage inflation during retirement, why we believe that we're going to see the return of inflation for the remainder of this decade. We've done a lot of shows about that, especially on our Big Picture segment on the weekend show. So I would definitely encourage you to tune into those if you want a big picture macro outlook of our view on inflation and a number of things contributing to that. But again, you know, the traditional means of investing over prior decades during a disinflationary period, which we saw really from 1980 all the way up until more recently, we could say 2020 was a period in which we saw a big inflection point there, that this means you're going to have to invest in a little bit of a different manner going forward. And we've highlighted some of the things that you can do, including controlling expenses. So put all this together, Forrest, Jim, and talk about the importance of planning in all of this process.
Yeah, I would say that if you're 5 years away from retirement or even a year or two retirement, or you just retired, you should have a financial plan, taking a look at your income, expenses, how your portfolio is weighted, what the risks are, what are going to be your sources of future income. Income tax planning, we're very big on Roth conversions, converting your traditional IRA into a Roth so it becomes tax-free income, not only to yourself during your retirement, but also to your heirs after you pass on. Also, an estate plan that's up to date. You've got wills, trusts. Your beneficiary provisions of your IRA and pension plans are properly set up so you minimize taxes for your heirs. You have medical durable powers, all the things that you don't want to be in a situation. I recently had a dear friend that passed away, and unfortunately, the estate plan was a mess. And this individual was just a little bit stubborn, didn't want to listen to anybody. And unfortunately, his surviving wife is dealing with the consequences. Thank goodness I got an attorney to come in and do some pro bono work here. But you don't want to leave your spouse or even your children dealing with probate and all the things that you have to go through to solve the estate or if you become incapacitated. So tying a plan is like putting a roof on a home. It's the final thing that you should have in place as you head into the retirement and off into the sunset.
And again, as I mentioned earlier, we at Financial Sense Wealth Management do provide comprehensive financial planning services as well as asset management along the lines of what we discussed today. So if you would like to contact us, feel free to give us a call at 888-486-3939. We have a wide range of highly accredited advisors here that can assist you with any of your needs. And you can also reach out to us by going to our website, financialsense.com, and just hitting where it says, Contact Us.
On behalf of Chris Sheridan and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Planning. Until we talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.